My name is Marissa, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Sequel Communications earnings call for the third quarter 2011. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, question during this time, simply press star, then if you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Pete Abel, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome to this discussion of the third quarter 2011 results for Sequel Communications Holdings One LLC and its subsidiaries which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we would like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual and quarterly reports, which are posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements. The information discussed today will be based on our quarterly earnings for 30th, 2011, but both our earnings release and quarterly report have been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the third quarter and first 9 months of 2011 and 2010. Today, our presenters will focus their comments on year-over-year pro forma results for the third quarter. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks, Pete, and good morning, everyone. We're really pleased to report third quarter 2011 results to demonstrate how we're executing on our goals of solidifying customer relationships in core markets, increasing market share through bundled services through our Project Imagine investments, and delivering a consistently strong financial and operating performance. We remain in outstanding financial condition and believe that our customer-centric strategy was instrumental in delivering our 20th consecutive quarter of pro forma revenue growth challenges in the overall economy. Our results continue to be among the very best in the industry. Pro forma, a 7.3% increase over the same quarter last year. Third quarter adjusted EBITDA is approximately $177.7 million, a 9.2% increase over the year ago period. Before certain non-recurring expenses, which were related almost entirely to the integration of the recently acquired NPG properties, third quarter EBITDA would have increased 9.8% over the year-ago period. Revenue-generating units, or RGUs, now total more than 3.38 million, an increase of more than 167,000 in the trailing 12 months, representing 5.2% annual growth. As you may recall, the second quarter this year was challenging from an RGU perspective due to seasonal factors, economic headwinds, decision to maintain effective rates, and our limited ability to market to former NPG customers until we transition those customers to Suddenlink platforms. Results were greatly improved in the third quarter when we added nearly 55,000 RGUs, driven in part by the completion of the NPG marketing and billing transition in July, college students returning to school in late August and early September, and successful targeted marketing campaigns focused on bundled services. Pro forma ARPU, or average revenue per unit, was $126.75, which is 10.6% higher than ARPU in the third quarter of 2010. Overall, the third quarter of 2011 showcased the strength and potential of this organization. At September 30th, we had approximately $137 million of cash and cash equivalents on hand, with no current plans to draw on our $200 million revolver. Free cash flow in the third quarter 2011, as defined in our earnings release, was $15.2 million, nearly $11 million better than free cash flow in the year-ago period. Our total leverage was 5.34 times EBITDA at September 30th. Net of all cash, our leverage at September 30th was 0.19 times EBITDA. Our track record of solid operating performance and our roadmap for growth give us confidence that we should be able to steadily reduce leverage in the months to come. Now, we expect significant returns on the infrastructure upgrades we're making through Project Imagine. These investments are helping us grow market share by extending our industry-leading broadband internet speeds to a larger addressable audience, services such as high-definition TV and video on demand, and enabling the expansion of business services. When Project Imagine is completed next year, high-definition or HD service should be available to substantially all customers with an average of 90 HD channels on our lineup and the capacity in most areas for up to 200 HD channels. Furthermore, video on demand and DOCSIS 3.0 broadband technology should be available to over 90% of our customer base. Project Imagine and success-based capital accounted for approximately $23.6 million of our $89.2 million in capital expenditures during the third quarter. From late 2009 through September 30th of this year, we've invested 1% of the approximately $350 million we've committed in success-based capital. By the end of this year, we will be more than 80% complete with Project Imagine. As we wind down and near the completion of that initiative, the declining CapEx spend and increased revenue should result in further expansion of margins and accelerated growth in free cash flow. And Tom will provide more details momentarily about where we stand with Project Imagine. We continue to market compelling bundled offerings, including double and triple play bundles, which lead to longer customer relationships and make our customers less vulnerable to competitive offers and churn. During the third quarter, we added more than 17,500 bundled customers, and at September 30th, 61% of all customers took two or more services from us. Of the bundled customers added in the third quarter, a solid majority, nearly 11,000, or 61.6%, were triple play customers. In addition, we expanded market share in the third quarter, adding approximately 6,800 customer relationships. As we've done consistently over the last several years, we gained high-speed internet and telephone customers in the third quarter at a much faster rate than our lower-margin video services. As a result, we're becoming less video-centric. 7 customer relationships are now a non-relationship, and we have reached a point that a majority of our gross margin is generated by non-video services. During the third quarter, we also continued achieving noteworthy growth in our other lines of businesses, which we don't reflect in our RGU results, namely our residential security, wireless home networking, and commercial lines of businesses. We grew home security customers by 9.6% in the third quarter and by 5,500 units, or 56.8% in the trailing 12 months. Importantly, across the markets where we sell our home security service, we estimate that we're second only to ADT in market. In our wireless home networking business, we grew customers 9% in the third quarter and nearly 58,000 units, or 133.3% in the trailing 12 months. Now, innovation is critical in today's rapidly changing environment, and that's why we'll continue developing services such as wireless home networking and home security. We believe these and other innovations will contribute to our future growth while enhancing the value of our brand and service among existing customers. We're also looking to stay ahead of the curve as consumer interest in online video increases. To that end, our online video service, Suddenlink2Go, has become quite popular, recording approximately since it was launched in early June, for an average of nearly 480,000 video streams per month. Initiatives like Suddenlink2Go should help us maintain an impressive faction, and with the enhanced network infrastructure we're developing through Project Imagine, we're well positioned to capitalize on these points of competitive differentiation. Our commercial organization also maintained its momentum in the third quarter, gaining share in both internet and phone services. In our communities, we estimate the currently addressable small and medium business segment is an $877 million market, and we believe our business class internet and phone services give us an excellent opportunity to capture a growing share of that market. Meanwhile, our carrier business saw ongoing demand from wireless carriers that need higher bandwidth connectivity between cell towers and central offices. Tom will provide additional perspective on this segment of our business in his remarks today. Our team is understandably proud of our third quarter results We're especially proud of our continued progress in improving customer satisfaction. According to the most recent results from the independent J.D. Power surveys released a few weeks ago, Suddenlink has now improved its customer satisfaction score for four consecutive years. And where we're measured, we continue to have the most improved score among anyone since 2007, up more than 100 points in that time frame. We're now the third highest rated cable operator, just behind Bright House and Cox. That's quite an improvement considering we were one of the lowest rated cable operators when we were first rated in 2007. We're determined to continue elevating our brand recognition and customer satisfaction ratings as we strive to reach our goal of providing a superior level of customer care. We believe that positions us to build on our momentum, and we expect to drive further growth in RGUs, commercial services, revenues, and EBITDA for the balance of 2011 and beyond. And I'll turn the call over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on Project Imagine and our operating achievements in the third quarter. Tom.
Thanks, Jerry. Before I expand on some of the operating results that Jerry touched on, it's worth reminding everyone of some of the operational activities that were unique to the third quarter, including, one, our marketing, sales, and installation plans during the back-to-school period, particularly focused on returning college students. Two, our ongoing integration of the former MPG properties, including billing and back-office platform migration, network migration and augmentation, and transitioning to the Suddenlink brand. Three, extended periods of unprecedented extreme heat in our southern markets, which put pressure on our networks, our employees, and our customers. And four, Hurricane Irene, which made landfall on the eastern coast of North Carolina, causing damage and disruption to a portion of our 90,000 customers in that area. While commercial power was restored in most areas within days, and all Suddenlink services were fully restored in that time frame, a storm of that magnitude naturally results in residual effects for several weeks. Our local team did an exemplary job of getting our customers back to a business-as-usual state within a few short weeks. I'm pleased to report that we managed these challenges successfully and, as Jerry noted, added 55,000 RGUs during the quarter, with more than 167,000 added in the trailing 12 months, representing 5.2% annual growth. On basic video, we ended the third quarter with approximately 1.27 million customers, a 3% decline since the year-ago period. Basic penetration of estimated homes passed at September 30 was 43.2%. On digital video, we ended the quarter with more than 753,000 customers, up 21,500 units in the quarter, and nearly 79,000 units, or 11.7% growth, in the trailing 12 months. Digital penetration of basic video customers continues to increase, and at the end of the quarter was 59.4%, up from 51.6% a year ago. Along with our growth in video, we added more than 38,000 DVR customers over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of 11.8%. DVR penetration of digital customers stood at 48.1% as of September 30. Looking at success in HD, we added more than 107,000 HD customers during the last 12 months, representing 32.4% annual growth and bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 58.2%, up from 49.1% a year ago. Total penetration of advanced digital services, either DVR or HD customers, stood at 60.8% of digital customers at the end of the third quarter 2011, up from approximately 52.8% at the end of the third quarter 2010. Once again, high-speed internet led the way as we finished the quarter with more than 937,000 residential customers, up 23,000 units during the quarter, 1,700 units, or 7.5%, to December 2010. As a result, residential data penetration was 33% of estimated data homes passed, up from 31.3% a year ago. On telephony, we finished the quarter with more than 426,000 residential customers, up more than 16,000 units during the quarter and more than 62,000 units, or 17.1%, since the year-ago period. As a result, residential telephony penetration was 18.1% of estimated telephone homes passed, up from 15.5% a year ago. At September 30th this year, total customer relationships were up nearly 5,000 in the trailing 12 months, with lower margin video customer losses being more than offset by a net gain of more than 33,000 non-video higher margin customers. Turning to our commercial business, we had another strong quarter, gaining approximately 1,200 commercial internet customers and 1,500 commercial phone customers during the quarter. At September 30, our 45,600 commercial internet customers represented a 9.6% increase over the past 12 months, while our 16,600 commercial phone customers represented a 61.2% increase over the year-ago period. As a reminder, our commercial phone customers average nearly 3 lines per customer. We're proud of our market share gains in the small to medium business sector and are optimistic that we will continue to gain share. We've also continued to see robust growth in our business of providing fiber to the tower for cellular carriers. As noted during our last two calls, this segment offers a great market opportunity for us with up to 3,000 addressable towers in our footprint. Today, we have over 400 tenants installed, approximately 240 more tenants in the process of being installed, and proposals outstanding for nearly 800 additional tenants. Many of the initial anchor tenants that we have sold are co-located with other tenants on the same tower, and we remain optimistic about our ability to serve additional tenants on currently served towers. What's more, we continue to see growth in bandwidth demands from our anchor tenants. Next, I'd like to comment briefly on our progress in the third quarter on Project Imagine. We continue to be extremely excited about this three-year initiative, with which we are now more than 77% complete. When all phases are concluded in 2012, this plan will help reshape our company for the future and further improve customers' experience with Suddenlink. In the third quarter, we continued distributing digital adapters to customers so that we all digital lineups, reclaim bandwidth, and add even more services. Through September 30, we had installed over 930,000 digital adapters in more than 60 cable systems. Furthermore, we had achieved the following Project Imagine milestones as of September 30. DOCSIS 3.0 technology was deployed to cable systems serving 84% of customers. And so far this year, we have launched our 50 meg and 100 meg services in nearly 20 additional markets. Video on demand service was available to more than 82% of basic video customers. On-demand content features more than 8,000 titles, including more than 1,000 HD titles, and we plan to add additional content in the months ahead. Customer VOD streams in September were 3.6 million, a 26% increase from September of last year. Access to that 93% and our weighted average number of HD channels, with several markets providing 90 or more HD channels. Our current lineup of HD services has effectively tripled from the 24 HD channels we offered on average before the start of Project Imagine. Now, beyond Project Imagine, we have continued to expand the availability of Suddenlink TiVo Premier DVR service and is now available to nearly 50% of our customers. As a reminder, this partnership combines our video service with TiVo's best-in-class user interface to offer access to thousands of hours of entertainment choices, including content from Suddenlink's video on-demand library and the web, all accessible through TiVo's advanced search and discovery feature. The ability to schedule recordings from location through a web-connected computer or smartphone device, including iPads and iPhones. With customized apps, Suddenlink customers who have integrated Suddenlink TiVo devices can also use their iPads and iPhones as advanced remote controls, changing channels, browsing video content, and even commenting on their favorite shows through Facebook and Twitter without interrupting what they're watching. We will be extending these services to Android devices in the coming months. In addition, before the end of the year, we expect to build on our TiVo partnership by introducing in several markets a multi-room DVR service which allows customers to record. They will also be able to start watching a show, and they'll have enough recording space for up to 600 shows. We believe innovations like these continue to position. Thank you for your time. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom, and good morning. Today I'll discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, and subsidiaries for the third quarter of 2011, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I will also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. As noted, I will focus my comments on pro forma third quarter year-over-year results, drawing on our quarterly report and earnings release. Our quarterly report and earnings release are available on our website. For the bank lending to this call, our first lien lender package, which covers Sequel Communications LLC and subsidiaries, has been posted to Intralinks, including a copy of our compliance certificate. As expected, we were in compliance 2011, all with the pro forma information we discussed today includes the MPG acquisition completed April 1st this year, as well as the cable system we acquired in August 2010, and it excludes the two small non-strategic cable systems we disposed of in November 2010, as if those transactions had all been consummated on January 1st, 2010. At September 30, our total debt outstanding was approximately $3.782 billion, comprised of $1.825 billion face amount of 8.625% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings One, first lien term loans at Sequel Communications and of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications LLC. We also have a $200 million undrawn revolver fully available except for $12.6 million of outstanding letters of credit. At September 30, we had approximately $137 million of cash on hand and interest rate swaps in place covering $1.75 billion, or nearly 90% of our funded bank debt. The weighted average duration of our swap portfolio was reduced to approximately 6 months at September 30. Of note, $400 million notional amount of swaps matured in October 2011. $950 million will mature in April 2012, and the remaining $400 million will mature in October 2012. As of October 7th, our swap portfolio reduced to $1.35 billion, or 69.4% of funded debt, and the weighted average cost of funded debt was 7.2%. Our total credit agreement was 5.34 times at September 30. Our leverage net of all cash was 5.19 times. First lien secured leverage stood at 2.7 times at September 30. Now for a few comments on our financial results, pro forma for acquisitions and divestitures. Total revenue for the third quarter of 2011 was $482.7 million. Representing growth of 7.3% or $32.7 million over the third quarter of 2010. ARPU was $126.75, an increase of 10.6% over the third quarter of 2010. Our increase in total for the third quarter 2011 versus the third quarter 2010 was largely attributable to increases in residential high-speed internet and growth in revenues from our commercial and carrier businesses. Residential revenue growth, trailing 12 months in the number of new telephone high video customers, an increase in the penetration of existing customers for these services, video and high-speed internet rate increases, and incremental revenues from video on demand, high-definition television, and digital video recorder services as more customers purchased advanced video offerings from us during the 12 months. Offsetting this residential revenue growth in part was a decrease due to the impact of bundling and promotional discounts and a decline from our commercial and carrier businesses grew due to increases in commercial high-speed data and telephone customers in the 12 months and from increases in cell tower and backhaul revenues. Increased 1.6%, primarily due to video rate increases, increased VOD service revenues, and customer growth in our digital and advanced video services, offset in part by a lower number of basic video customers and digital customers purchasing fewer digital tiers of service on average. High-speed internet service revenues increased 12.2% due to an increase in residential high-speed internet customers over the trailing 12 months, the impact of rate increases, growth in our commercial high-speed internet services to small and medium-sized businesses, and growth in carrier services. Telephone service revenues increased 20.2%, primarily increase in residential telephone customers, offset in part by the impact of bundling and promotional discounts, and growth in our commercial telephone services to small and medium-sized businesses. Advertising revenues remained relatively constant year over year, as higher local and national automotive ad political revenues, excluding the emptying revenue, increased 3.4% on a year-over-year basis. Other revenues increased 13.8%. Rental revenues from high-definition and DVR-capable digital converters, increased home networking revenue, increased administrative fees associated with the underlying growth of the business, higher franchise fees consistent with video service revenue increases, higher commercial installation revenue, and higher broadcast retransmission fees. Our commercial lines of business, which are embedded in the video, high-speed internet, telephone, and other revenues reflected in our earnings release, are commercial high-speed internet based on and off network carrier services and commercial telephone. Revenue for our commercial lines of business totals $57 million, or 11.8% of total revenue in the third quarter 2011, representing growth of 17.1% versus the third quarter of 2010, which is our strongest ever year-over-year commercial growth rate. Our commercial data and telephone business grew 25.6% year-over-year on a combined basis. Operating costs and expenses rose 6.2%, primarily due to higher programming costs and retransmission consent expenses, increased net compensation and employee-related costs, including contract labor, higher fuel expenses, increased franchise fees, increased bad debt expense, and increased marketing expenses, offset in part by a decrease in telephone service costs. In addition, the third quarter includes approximately $1.4 million of non-recurring expenses related to Hurricane Irene and contract termination charges and integration expenses associated with NPG. Adjusted EBITDA for the third quarter 2011 was $177.7 million, an increase of 9.2% from the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 36.8%, up from 36.2% in the year-ago quarter. As Jerry talked of non-recurring expenses associated with the acquisition, adjusted EBITDA for the third quarter 9.8% from the same quarter last year. Income from operations for the third quarter 2011 was $72.4 million, an increase of 21.5%. compared to the third quarter 2010, due to year-over-year revenue increases outpacing increases in operating, selling, and administrative, and depreciation and amortization expenses. Net loss was approximately $5.2 million for the third quarter 2011, compared to a net loss of $5.1 million for the third quarter 2010. Third quarter expenditures were approximately $89.2 million. Subject Imagine and success-based capital of approximately $23.6 million. For the full year 2011, we expect capital expenditure previously established range of $360 to $370 million, inclusive of NPG Cable, Project Imagine, and related success-based capital expenditures. Year-to-date through September 30, we had $288.9 million in total capital expenditures. As Jerry mentioned, free cash flow in the third quarter was positive $15.9 million compared to free cash flow of $4.3 million for the same period last year. The improvement is due to enhanced operating results, offset in part by increases in cash interest expense, free cash flow positive for the full year. In addition, we expect our free cash flow to increase as EBITDA grows, Project Imagine nears completion, and our interest rate swaps continue to roll off. I'll now conclude my remarks and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I would like to remind you that this is a public call and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what is disclosed in our earnings release and annual report. Operator?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Jason Kim with Goldman Sachs.
Thank you for taking my questions. First question for Jerry. In August, you gave some helpful comments in terms of how the by-month basis and how you had mentioned that you saw some slight improvement from July to August, and it seems to have improved a little bit more as the quarter progressed. Is that a right way to think about how it went? And if you can give a kind of a preview of how October went, that'd be helpful as well.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the last call, through April of the start of this year, coming off 2010, which was a record year of growth for us, the first 4 months of the year continued to perform exceptionally well. And then in May, we started seeing a pickup in non-pays, and after May through July, really, we saw drop-off in connect activity. Our frontline personnel, customer calls, a lot of it had to do with stretched household budgets. And we know about gas prices, food prices, but Texas is our largest state. We're also in Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma. And a number of those communities that we serve saw as much as almost 50 consecutive days of over 100-degree temperatures. And that really drove much higher utility costs. And we were hearing about unemployment running out, but we really were hitting more economic headwinds than anything else. And as I mentioned, we also made a concerted effort to not discount and to hold in our ARPU. Starting in August and into September, started seeing a rebound in our growth. We did start discounting a little bit more, nothing significant, but we started discounting to attract additional services and to meet our competitors who had lower price bundle opportunities. And we saw a rebound. And if you really look at it, in the third quarter, we were compared to last year. Remember, 2010 was a record year for us. In the third quarter, we were behind in digital, which really is, I think, being impacted by the economy, and slightly lower in basic. But internet and phone growth were pretty consistent with last year, and certainly consistent with prior years. October, I would say, is just a continuation of what we saw in the last couple of months.
Great, thanks, very helpful. And then, in terms of your leverage, because of the continued pretty rapid EBITDA growth, your leverage can decline at a pretty fast clip. When you think about put additional capital returns to other stakeholders, do you have like a net leverage target in mind before you think about potential for the cash returns, or is there other parameters that you're looking for?
Well, as we said, Jason, all along since our dividend, we have stated and continue to state we will not do another dividend this year. And in terms of target leverage, we really don't have a target leverage, but we have consistently said that we're cognizant of our current ratings. We don't want to do anything to jeopardize those ratings, and we hold by that. And so yeah, we have some leverage room, but we're not going to do anything to jeopardize our current ratings.
Fair enough. And the last question, obviously this question gets asked every quarter, but you have your bank debt maturing in 2 years, so you certainly have time to refinance those, but the markets have been very volatile. And now it's has come back, and you know, certainly compared to what it was, you know, a couple months ago. So, how do you think about that as you look to be, you know, potentially proactive with refinancing the bank debt?
So, Jason, you're right. We have 2 years remaining until the markets are volatile. We are certainly looking at our options. We be opportunistic. And we're looking for a period of reduced volatility before we make a decision. And we have time.
We don't feel like we are in any rush. We want to make sure that if and when we decide to refinance, that it's an opportune time.
Understood. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike Pace with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thank you. This is Arjun Chanda from Mike Pace. Just a couple of questions from us. First on retrans, we believe there's a lot to do still on the retrans front in 2012. Can you remind us what major contracts are coming up, where you are with those negotiations, and if you plan to pass through those costs to customers as you've done in the past?
Yeah, we have quite a number of retrans agreements that are coming due, 76 of them towards the end of this year, covering, you know, a number of our broadcasters. We don't generally disclose who they are. We had a similar, if not exaggerated, situation 3 years ago where we had a greater percentage that came due. We affected all of those negotiations within our expectations. No systems went dark. We are optimistic that we will have similar success this year. We have a lot of work to do over the next couple of months, and we have the right staffing lined up against that.
And yes, we are going to pass through our retransmission consent costs like we have historically, and are planning to do that for any increases at the end of this year. And you know, I'll just say that we are seeing some pretty aggressive activity on the behalf of broadcasters for asked and retransmission consent. And I think you've seen it, some recent DirecTV and Mediacom pressure. And, in fact, Mediacom had some channels go dark. And, we are faced with pretty aggressive broadcast asks.
Thanks. That's helpful. On the commercial side, you mentioned this a little bit in your prepared remarks, but of your commercial revenues, can you give us some general color on how large the cell tower and backhaul component is, and also what your penetration is relative to what you think that business could ultimately be, that ultimate market opportunity?
As Tom mentioned, we have 400 in billing, another 240 or so coming into billing. There are 3,000 towers in our footprint. That gives you an idea of the opportunity. We have 900-plus opportunities that are aggressively being marketed now. So we are really at the early phases of what is possible in the carrier business. And that's cell backhaul. There are other opportunities, long-haul opportunities in the carrier space as well, that we're positioned to exploit. The carrier business is a relatively small percentage of our overall commercial business today, probably less than 15%, with a lot of upside for growth.
Thanks. And finally, we saw DirecTV subscriber numbers this morning much better than, you know, we were expecting. And, you know, can you discuss what you've seen from both DirecTV and Dish in your markets during the third quarter, and if there have been any changes in Q4?
Sure. I would say, first of all, our performance in the third quarter of this year versus last relative to basic customers, we're actually slightly better in terms of our overall losses. So we, like several others, saw some marginal improvement year over year. With respect to competitive offers, it's generally been more of the same, I guess, with one exception. DirecTV has been offering the Sunday football ticket package for free for 1 year as part of their 2-year contract, and so that certainly is something that's different this year versus last.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of David Sherritt with Barclays.
Hi. If I could ask a little follow-up on the competitive landscape side, just maybe from the telcos, just what you're seeing in terms of broadband promotions, and maybe in terms of your own promotions as well. I could see on your website a home phone promotion right now, and just kind of when you launched that, what the success of that has been, I guess, you know, in terms of the competitive dynamic with you versus the telcos as it sits, you know, right now in the fourth quarter. That'd be my first question.
Sure, and let me just give you first a reminder of our just wireline overlap. So this is not UVerse and Fios percentages. This is just pure traditional telco wireline overlap. AT&T, about 62% overlap of our footprint. CenturyLink, 16%. Frontier, 14%. Verizon, 3%. And then a few others represent the small balance of the difference. We obviously are well aware of the offer that they have in the marketplace, target around a $15 price point, $14.95 when you take other services from them for their DSL service, generally measured in the 1 meg, up to 1.5 meg, potentially even 3 meg in some areas. So that to us is just a low beacon price point out there that they're trying to get people to get the phones to ring. We have a 1.5 meg service available in our markets. We've used that to our benefit to match those price points from a low beacon price point standpoint. That being said, the gains that we've seen in our internet customers, you know, have not really changed dramatically from our historical base. In fact, we're seeing more and more customers signing up for 15 meg and beyond types of services. So from just a pure DSL standpoint, that's you know, CenturyLink and Verizon or Frontier to a lesser extent have followed with somewhat similar kinds of low DSL price point tactics.
In terms of landline telco competition on the video side, I want to remind everyone we have no Fios overbuild. We have some Prism, which is CenturyLink in a small portion so far of our North Carolina system. And then we have, correct me if I'm wrong, about 4% of homes passed with AT&T. So we have less than 10% of landline telco competition and about 4% being the UVerse product.
Maybe just in your own promotion on the telephony side, I mean, when was that launched and just, you know, what success have you seen as a driver for 4Q ads on the telephony side?
Right. So for several quarters now, we first started with a 25 for 5 offer. So when you bundle, you can get telephone service from us, unlimited domestic, local, and long-distance calling for $25 for 5 years. We then converted that to a 25 for life offering mid-summer month time frame. And, you know, we believe that that's a great price point for our customers. And they certainly can save significantly off of what their incumbent is charging them for that product. And by bundling with us, we think it's a great price point for us as well.
And we see continued growth in residential telephone business. We still have a pretty good long runway for that.
Yeah, we're 18% penetrated of our telephone homes passed.
I mean, it seems like from the DSL competition side and your telephony offers is not a major change as you're seeing right now in terms of the – maybe just to jump into one other point on the M&A side. You mentioned nothing in terms of additional shareholder returns this year. Just, you know, anything you're seeing in terms of the M&A landscape among, you know, potential smaller opportunities or your appetite in general?
Right now, we don't see a lot of activity in M&A across the entire industry. And, you know, There's always little small tuck-in opportunities, but major M&A opportunities, we really don't see any right now.
Yeah, we don't either. But there's nothing really, again, in terms of smaller opportunities that you're really focused on either. Then,
we from time to time we're given smaller opportunities, but nothing significant at this point.
Your next question comes from Bishop Cheen with Wells Fargo Securities.
Hi, thanks for the very informative and detailed overview. Big picture question, you may not want to do it all, but just Cliff Notes version. You're very close to completing DOCSIS. So my question is, A, what will CapEx look like post-DOCSIS? And B, can you remind us again all of the benefits that a DOCSIS sequel is going to bestow upon you?
Bishop, I can answer, I think, your question, which steady-state CapEx?
After DOCSIS?
Post Project Imagine. So, and of course, Project Imagine is, far more comprehensive than DOCSIS 3.0 in terms of the benefits and opportunities it provides, and we'll get to that. But we believe that in the medium term, following Project Imagine, the CapEx as a percent of revenue targets that are generally out there in the low single digits for MSOs would certainly apply to us as well in the medium term after Project Imagine. In terms of the benefits and opportunities from Project Imagine, Tom, do you want to take
that? Sure. First, as it relates to DOCSIS 3.0, I mean, obviously it provides us the opportunity to launch 20 meg, 50 meg, 107 meg type services to all of our customers and continue our market industry leadership in terms of that flagship product for us. It also benefits us on the commercial side. We can leverage that platform to serve, provide those type speed services, and in many cases with higher upstream speeds because the commercial customers are certainly more sensitive to that. But it provides our commercial sales group a great opportunity to sell some very competitive products in the marketplace on the commercial side as well. Other benefits that we've noted repeatedly in the past and on this call as well, obviously our HD channel counts are approaching 100, and VOD we've rolled out in many, many more markets with over 8,000 titles now, 1,000 in HD, and so Project Imagine has provided us an opportunity to do that, as well as create unused bandwidth for whatever may be the next type of services that customers are looking for.
And Bishop, to correct, I apologize if I didn't say this, but the CapEx targets would be low double digits, not high single digits.
In terms of percent of revenue.
Percent of revenue.
Right. That's kind of what I wrote down anyway.
Right.
Low double digit percentage of revenue. That
right.
is the comp, and those
yes,
are
and
the
that's,
prevailing.
And we believe we will achieve those targets when Project Imagine completes as well. And then the other intangible opportunity around Project Imagine is all of the benefits that accrue to customer service, which are always at the forefront of our minds.
Okay. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Amy Stepnowski with The Hartford.
Hi. Thanks. My question's been answered.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Rose with RBC Capital Markets.
Hi. My question has to do with the ARPU of the basic segments between video, data, and telephony. If we look at the quarter, they were off sequentially on a bigger amount than usual. Actually, it usually inches up a little bit quarter by quarter. But from hearing the color, it sounds like some incentives were rolled out mid to late quarter, and I suspect then the net adds were kind of later in the quarter, which can skew it. So I'm just trying to, if there's any kind of color you can give us on where to we ought to look at the forecast for ARPU by segment, especially like on data and telephony.
So Mark, we're reluctant to give you our forecast on ARPU by segment. You are right. On some of our segments, ARPU ticked down a little bit on some discounting. But certainly our ARPU in total and our residential recurring service ARPU was up significantly. That is the result of our continued success in bundling up our customers. We had, as Jerry and Tom mentioned in their remarks, great success in adding double and triple play customers. And I think it's important to note that our ARPU in general well exceeds our revenue growth and actually exceeds our budgeted expectations as well. We are always very careful about the mix between rate and volume, and we have a target in mind and a mix that we're looking for, and we're very satisfied with what we've achieved from a budget point of view as well.
Yeah, I just want to point out, we did experience 10.6% ARPU growth year over year. Be careful about looking at a basic or a digital or telephone or internet specifically on an individual basis, because depending upon the promotion, it depends on how you allocate any discounts among those four services. So
right.
I'd be a little careful of drawing a conclusion from a one-quarter change.
Okay. On promotions, are those usually a 3-month type entry level promotion but then it tails off, or are those usually spread over 12 months?
Yeah, most of our promotions today are now 12 month type offers.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Spillman with PPM America.
Thanks. Two questions. One, just I think you guys said this, but you just repeat verbiage about Project Imagine, what percentage you're done, and then what's left in 12?
Sure. The 7% complete year to date, that number will be slightly over 80% by the end of the year, so we'll have roughly 20% of our projects left to complete in 2012. In terms of where we are year to date, digital simulcast, all digital lineups are at 86% of our footprint, video on demand 82%, access to HD 93%, weighted average HD channel 72%, and DOCSIS 3.0 in front of 84% of our customer base.
That's 80%. What was the total again? 350?
350 million?
Yeah.
That includes Project Imagine and the success-based capital related to it.
Okay, so just would it be oversimplifying to say you got 20% of 350 to spend in 2012 related to Project Imagine?
That would be a way to look at it.
Okay, and then, Mary, your comment on the low double-digit CapEx post-Imagine, I mean, is that as soon as kind of 2012 if one strips out Project Imagine?
I think we don't. I said in the medium term, Project Imagine.
And then just one more on the non video subs. You guys, like some other operators, have shown pretty good growth in that area. How does that skew? Are those mainly double play guys that you're selling phone to, or is it skewing a lot towards just data customers? How do you guys look at that business, and are you marketing specifically to those customers?
It's 70% data only, 30% data phone. That's the base of roughly 189,000 of those customers. We absolutely are marketing to that subset. As you've seen, we've had some success, and we have targeted at times non-customers that we customers, and have targeted them with a leading with data and phone offer. And have obviously had some success in getting those. In terms of our growth in non-video customers over the last 12 months, 73% of that growth has come from new customers. The balance has come from the small remaining balance has come from other upgrades, downgrades, et cetera, in terms of relationships.
Okay, so you've just taken the tact of, hey, you know, if or that's fine, I'm still going to go after them, try to sell them my higher speed internet product.
Yes. Yeah, I maybe wouldn't say it's fine, but it's it's acceptable if we keep it.
And then you can try to sell them when their contract expires.
Right. Sure. All right. Thanks a lot.
One thing I will point out, we typically do not promote standalone telephone. We see that just results in higher churn and is not a real profitable segment for us. So data only is fine, data phone fine, but we're not big proponents of phone only.
There are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for continued interest in SQL Communications. We appreciate it, and have a great day.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.